Happy New Year, and welcome back to Whence Came You, a Freemasonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. I'm your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Well, it's 2013. We survived the apocalypse, Hanukkah, Christmas, New Year's, St. John's Day, and the rest. Glad to be back. I had a nice little break, and I hope you all did as well. Of course, I was still working my day job every day, even working a bit of overtime. So my resolution this year is to take the Master Craftsman Program, which is a correspondence course by the Scottish Rite Southern Masonic Jurisdiction. It promises to be quite interesting, and when I finish that, you can bet I am going to go on for the second part of it as well. I wanted to mention Brother Jason from Product Research Gear sent me some notes over the holiday season, one of which included some pictures of a homemade apron, including the straps and everything that he put together at his shop. He did it so that he could have his own apron while traveling. He did a great job, and I wanted to say openly what a great job he did and how nice it was to hear from you, Brother Jason. So thank you. Also, I received correspondences from Brother Jeff Koch. We spoke about various things, but he has done a great service for me and set up a chance to do an interview with the Most Worshipful Grand Master of the state of Arizona, which I am very excited about. I'm still working on a way to record phone interviews, so I have looked into some apps which will record the call, but I'm on Verizon Wireless, which is a CDMA network, and I guess there's some issues with that, and those kind of apps don't work the best. If anybody has any ideas, I'm open for suggestions. I also wanted to share an email with all of you because I'm looking for information on a few things, which, to be frank, I cannot find. So the first one is from Brother Shlomo. Brother Robert, I have been listening to your excellent podcast for a while. While I am not a York Rite Mason, I am in the Scottish Rite as well as a Shriner here in New York. I would be interested if you could help me do some research on Rabbi Hirsch Geffen of Savannah, Georgia from the 1920s. He was in the Scottish Rite. Also, I would assume that his more famous brother, Rabbi Tobias Geffen, may also have been a Mason. Rabbi Tobias Geffen is very famous in Jewish circles for having convinced Coca-Cola to become kosher. That is a story all in itself. Keep up the good work, brother. So, if anybody has any information about that, let us know so that we can share it with Brother Shlomo. I'd be very interested in knowing myself. Next is another which deals with another hard-to-research topic. Now, I'm not going to read the whole email, but it deals with something that they mentioned called the Double Dragon Guard, and the logo is two dragons around a square and compass. I couldn't find any information on that either. So again, if anybody has any information regarding Rabbi Hirsch or Tobias Geffen, the Double Dragon Guard, or recording phone interviews, send me a note so that we can go ahead and get some answers for some of the brothers. Anyone who has anything interesting, of course, will receive credit. And you can inbox me at wcypodcast@gmail.com or hit me up on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, any way you want. Thanks again in advance. This week's first piece is by a brother and listener, Matthew Joseph Tahiri. I hope I said your last name right. Without any further delay, he did a paper and it's called The Reason for the Squeezin'. The following lecture is fit for the initiated and uninitiated alike. Prospective brothers, please see the bolded statement. My brothers and those we seek to aid, I would like to speak briefly, or what is briefly, to someone as long-winded as I, on the subject of Masonic secrecy. I have found, in my travels, that we as a society spend far too much time debating our standing as either a secret society or a society with secrets. I, for one, will reserve my opinion on the subject. What I would like to focus on, however, are the secrets that we acknowledge we keep, and the reasons why. Before you pass quick judgment on the looseness of my lips when addressing the profane public, I implore you to read on. These secrets have been admitted to by Grand Lodges the worldwide, and I wish only to explain their need and use. I will first explain why I meditated on this topic and why I came to the realization which I will put before you. As a Mason in the modern age, I found it distressing to hear that our secrets are readily available within the confines of the collective web. It bothered me that those with curiosity might come to know what I know and come to represent what I represent without actually being a brother of the craft. Well, my fears have been allayed. I believe that we have two forms of secrets, One, those we use as means of identification, and two, our ritual. One, our identification methods serve a few different purposes. Firstly, and most obviously, it allows us to quickly identify one another in the greater public, so that we might know we are among family. It also prevents those who might seek to reap the benefits of our association from doing so without putting for the necessary labor. As Masons, we dedicate our lives towards aiding our fellow human. By they, Mason or not, I myself am a New York City EMT for this reason. But we are willing to give a bit more of our private time and resources, sometimes at our own detriment, to those who seek a similar goal. Before you proclaim favoritism and hypocrisy, I would like to share a bit of my personal professional life. When a fellow EMT or firefighter is injured in the line of duty, we put together what is called a 1013 fund. 1013 is the New York City radio code for a member of service in distress. We collectively donate our sick days and overtime pay to the injured member so that he might provide for himself and his family on the poor workers' comp wage. This does not mean EMTs only help each other. Another reason we use these forms of identification is that each and every time we use them, it unites us with brethren that have come before us and our ancient origins. They are a portrayal of our obligation and dedication to the craft and those who belong to it, and the commonality between all who would give and receive them. And two, to some of us who have studied not just in lodge but in libraries, the secrecy of our ritual can be somewhat perplexing. We find that our ritual is but an ancient lesson displaying to the highest the travesty of greed and ignorance and the dire need for brotherhood among all mankind. If that is the case, why not share it with all mankind? Great question. Well done. And the following, in my own special way, might explain it. Inspired by the BBC show Sherlock and my love of classical music, I recently picked up a cheap violin, hoping to teach myself. For the holidays, I learned a version of Silent Night, which only a mother could love. I squeak and pop and accomplish this sound, which causes the wallpaper to self-strip from the walls. And I love it. I intend on continuing on this course until I can produce something that remotely sounds like music. It's great fun. I recommend it highly. This being said, the members of the New York City Philharmonic attend lessons in their youth. They went to school to become better musicians. They have dedicated their lives to playing their instrument and bringing the joys of sound to the ears of the many. I have not made this dedication. I will not play for the Philharmonic. And this being the case, if I were to hop on stage with my $60 violin, I should be promptly escorted off the stage by large men with tiny heads. Lessons are meant to be taught in specific ways. That is why they are called lessons. A non-Mason might think of our ritual as a lesson and be better suited. While I might learn from a book, I would be best suited making the necessary commitment and dedicating myself to learning the violin. Aha! Therein lies the answer. We do not openly disclose our ritual for this reason. All men are welcome to become Masons, but they must first dedicate themselves, as all good Masons have, to aiding their fellow man. Whether they be Masons or not, they must dedicate themselves to a life of constant education, to a life of service, and to a life of respectfulness. They must not be willing to one day call themselves a Mason, and the next call themselves a car thief. They must dedicate themselves to the path we walk, and then they will be duly entitled to receiving the lessons which we teach. We also do not openly share our ritual in order to retain the quality of our lessons. Just as I can learn to play Silent Night via YouTube, as I have, I will not be receiving the same quality of education as I would have had if I consulted a professional tutor. We perform ritual in structured ways so that the messages might be conveyed properly. Important for prospective Masons. I will not lie to you. Our ritual is out there. Once upon a time, some whiny fellas who couldn't play nice in the sandbox or who bumped heads with one of the inevitable jerk-faced anomalies, any large society will be prone to get extra upset and write down the ritual which meant nothing to them. If you have any interest whatsoever in Masonry, do not seek it and do not read it. You will be doing yourself a disservice. As I have previously stated, the ritual is taught in structured ways, and being a part of it and witnessing it for yourself and feeling the way you yourself change are all as important as knowing the words. The words are but a door you open in order to walk down the hallway toward the window of light. One wouldn't think I'm an architect. What you will do, however, is completely ruin the experience for yourself, as the feeling of revelation is quite powerful when done properly. See my conclusion to understand a bit more. In conclusion, I am no longer frustrated by our quote-unquote exposure. Our secrets lie within us. Our secret is the way we feel when dwelling with brothers who have been through not only the same lesson, but who have experienced it in the same way. To read is little, but to walk in the shoes of our ancient brethren is much. When we perform ritual, we do it as closely as possible to that of Brother George Washington, Brother Theodore Roosevelt, and all the other famous and less famous that have come before us. We unite together not only with those in lodge, but with those who have sat in all regular lodges worldwide since the beginning of the craft. Our secrets make us who we are. They are what sets us apart from other wonderful benevolent organizations. We are not men who do good deeds, but men who live and exist solely to better mankind. Our ritual reminds us of this. And the secrets are how we ensure that all those sitting among us in lodge are likewise dedicated to humanity and the craft which labors to improve it. Sincerely yours, Brother Matthew Tahiri, Palmanuck, Port Washington Lodge, No. 855, New York, 1227, 2012. As a disclaimer to those who might be pretenders, our words mean much to us but little to you. If you think that reading an article on a website and watching a History Channel special allows you to understand us, you are sadly mistaken. There are other ways we know each other than a handshake and a few words. We change as men after we experience our degrees, and that change cannot be faked in any way. We speak in a different way and have a specific vernacular, which is not sensational enough to be found on the internet. That being said, you need not fear death or injury. You need not fear even harsh words. What you should fear is the loss which you have already suffered by so ruining the beauty of something for yourself. We will still gladly feed you, ensure you are warm and safe, and then have nothing more to do with you. But you will not benefit from our light. That concludes the paper, and he has invited me to give this email address for comments, etc. regarding the piece. You can reach him at matthew.tahiri@gmail.com. That's spelled matthew.tahiri@gmail.com. Next, I have to mention the ways to listen. Of course, there is iTunes, and there is also the podcast app on iPhones, but we also have several other ways which may work best for you. We have an Apple application and an Android application which lets you listen streaming wherever you are. The app features bonus items which include the paper that we read, books, Masonic-themed wallpapers for your mobile device, and sometimes even videos. Also, if you like streaming but you want free access, there is a Stitcher Smart Radio app. When you download Stitcher Smart Radio, look for the show and enter the promo code WhenceCameYou with no spaces, and you actually end up helping us out because the folks at Stitcher send us a dollar when you do that. Most recently, we are featured on the Blueberry channel, which is spelled BLUBRRY. And it's a channel on the Roku multimedia player for your television. We're also on the RIM podcast network for BlackBerry. We're on Flash players and enabled on our homepage, Twitter, and Facebook as well. You might even find your home lodge has a player to the show on it. So any way you want to listen, hopefully it's available for you. I'm working on some things which may lead to more interviews, specifically with the curator of the Cup of Brotherly Love. If you don't know what it is, I suggest you Google it right now and prepare to be awed. It's a really cool story. So hopefully we can get this interview going at some point in the future. Now this week's famous Freemason is a double. Colonel Robert Samuel McLaughlin was an influential Canadian businessman and philanthropist. He started the McLaughlin Motor Car Company in 1907, one of the first major automobile manufacturers in Canada, which evolved into General Motors of Canada. Born near Bowmanville in the hamlet of Enniskillen, Ontario, the son of Robert McLaughlin, he started working in 1887 for his father's company, McLaughlin Carriage Works, at one time the largest manufacturer of horse-drawn buggies and sleighs in the British Empire, with engines from William C. Durant of Buick he produced the McLaughlin Buick Model F, establishing the McLaughlin Motor Car Company, incorporated on November 20th, 1907. In 1908, its first full year of operation, it produced 154 cars. In 1910, he became a director of General Motors and sold his company in 1918, becoming president of General Motors of Canada, which continued to sell cars under the McLaughlin Buick brand until 1942. He retired in 1945, but remained chairman of the board until his death. He was a member of Cedar Lodge No. 270, Oshawa, Ontario, past Grand Steward, and a 75-year member. And secondly, John J. McLaughlin, his son. Around 1851, the first ginger ales were created in Ireland. John McLaughlin invented the modern Canada Dry version of ginger ale in 1907. Canadian John McLaughlin graduated from the University of Toronto in 1885 with a gold medal in pharmacy. By 1890, John McLaughlin had started in the soda pop business by opening a carbonated water plant in Toronto, Canada. He sold his product to local drugstores that used the carbonated water to mix with fruit juices and flavoring to create delicious sodas to sell to their soda fountain customers. John McLaughlin began making his own soda drink recipes and created McLaughlin Belfast-style ginger ale in 1890. McLaughlin also developed a method of mass bottling his ginger ale, leading to successful sales. Each bottle of McLaughlin Belfast-style ginger ale had a map of Canada and a picture of a beaver, the national animal of Canada, on the label. By 1907, John McLaughlin had refined his recipe by lightening the dark color and improving the sharp taste of his first ginger ale. The result was Canada Dry Pale Dry ginger ale, which John McLaughlin patented. On May 16, 1922, Canada Dry Pale Ginger Ale was trademarked, registered. The Champagne of Ginger Ales is another famous Canada Dry trademark. He also was from Cedar Lodge No. 270, Oshawa, Ontario, of course, son of Samuel McLaughlin, an inventor of Canada Dry Ginger Ale. That's it for this week's show. Remember to find us on Facebook and follow on Twitter at Whence Came You. We're on Google+, Tumblr, and Pinterest also. Remember to share the show with brothers and anyone else you might think would make a good brother. If you're a webmaster of your home lodge and you want to feature the show on a media page on your lodge, or maybe you have a website or a blog and you want to put a small player of the show on your website, shoot me an email. I can send you the embed code. No big deal. That's one of the reasons for the show, to bring light to men interested in Freemasonry. Anyway, until next week, stay on the level. For Whence Came You? I'm Robert Johnson.